So good today to have Bill and Shirley Hall with us. They are friends that go back many, many years. And what a blessing they have been to our church through the years. We're so glad that they took time to come down this way to be with us for this very special day and to preach the Word of God to our hearts. So, brother, would you come and share what the Lord's laid on your heart?
Shirley and I were in Milton. I think you were with me. She says, no, we were in Baghdad. And a little church building. I don't remember all about it, but a little church building. Dayton Hobbs pastored. Carolyn Hobbs played the piano. And he was principal of a public school. And I remember some boy was misbehaving. I don't know if he's pastor or not, but some boy was misbehaving. And he stopped that boy and said, son, if you don't straighten up, I'm going to fan your spark of divinity. Well, if you know some of the preachers like Norman Vincent Lemon Peel and others, they always talked about the spark of divinity that's in everybody instead of being depraved sinners. But that was my introduction to the Hobbs. I remember one time, you don't pardon me if I reach back in my memories, it's not too good. But we came one time for a week of meetings, and Dr. Hobbs, he said, now, Bill, we can't be there the first day. He said, but you come on, you're staying at our house, and you come on. And so we did. We came on, we were there, and they weren't at home, so we knew where to go and how to set things up. And we had our van parked up next to the garage door. And after we got ready for bed, hadn't gone to bed yet, but we were had our night clothes on, my alarm went off on the van. So I went out and I looked around. There wasn't anybody. I reset the alarm, and we went back in again. And the alarm went off again. So I said, well, it's malfunctioning. So I went out and turned the alarm off. Well, settled back down in their den. And all at once, we saw lights flashing outside. And the doorbell rang. And I went to the door. I was not presentable. But I went to the door, and there stood the police. They thought I was a robber that had broken in. I had my van parked, backed up, and I was stealing everything in the house. But when they saw me, they knew I wasn't a burglar dressed like I was going to bed. So those are some of the good memories, some humorous things, some very good things. Now, I've done something today that I've never done before. My eyesight's not what it was. My hearing's not what it was. And Pastor said, I don't think your brain's what it was either. But anyhow, I'm going to read the scripture out of my Kindle so that I can see it well. And then we're going with them. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. If you found it in your Bible, it's as easy to find it in this. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh, to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, that is, we live in like the world, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, the alive and the dead. For For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, you know what message we have prepared and what message the hearts of these dear people need. And Lord, I pray that you'll glorify yourself in this. You know I'm not as fresh and as active as I used to be, but Lord, I've grown rusty, but I want your special help for this special day. Make us a blessing and help us to honor thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll notice that the word flesh is used several times in this portion of Scripture. I think it's interesting that when the Apostle Paul spoke of the flesh, he often was referring to the old nature, that is, the sinful nature that we're born with, depraved, lost, undone. But here, the flesh does not refer to the old nature, the old man that we're to put off as Christians and to count ourselves crucified every day. I die daily, Paul said. But the flesh here in 1 Peter chapter 4 means the flesh. That is, our time in the flesh, as it says in verse 2, is our life here in this body. The time we spend in this temple. So our time in the flesh. I want to make several observations about it. First of all, our time in the flesh is checkered. You look at a checkerboard and you see a dark spot, and when you move, it goes to a light spot, then back to a dark spot. So is life. We have days when we were young, we looked forward to. Oh, I just thought Christmas would never get here. And birthdays. Oh, how we look forward to our birthday when folks would sing to us and give us gifts and those kind of things, huh? Birthdays. Yeah, that was youth. Now they go by so fast, we hardly pay any attention to them. Birthdays. Youth. Then we get to the young age of getting through with school, and then to the middle age of life, and finally to real adulthood, and finally to this period of life that some of us are in that we don't want to talk about. Okay? Have you ever thought about it? Our life is so short. And so different. One day to another, we have our sunshiny days and we have our dark days. We have our smooth roads and then we have our roads that are not smooth but very rough and with potholes and heavy traffic and road hogs. We have good things and bad things. We call them bad. But the Bible says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. So everything is going to work together for good because God has planned it that way. So, life is a checkerboard, and no one day is going to be like the next day. And the next day is going to be different from that day. And we should look with excitement to what every day holds for us. Oh yes, there'll be times of bereavement, but there'll be times of joy. There'll be the birth of that baby, and then that baby will grow up and break your heart. So you've got to learn to accept the bad along with the good and say, praise God anyway. So my second observation of our time in the flesh, not only is it checkered, but our time in the flesh is short. Compared to eternity, I don't know how to expound on that. Eternity and our brief time here on earth. Every time I read the fifth chapter of the book of Genesis and the longevity of those before the flood, 900 and something years. I can hear a 150-year-old boy come into his dad and say, Dad, could I drive the car today? He say, no, son, you're too young to drive. celebrating your 500th wedding anniversary. Surely think 66 years is a long time, and it has been. Yes, our time in the flesh is short. Moses, he lived to be, 120 or something like that. But he wrote, the days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength we live to be 80, that's 80. Psst. Well, Carolyn, you sure did pass that. And so have I. And so have others of you here today. And these little children sitting around, 80 years old? When I was little, I thought that 40 was old. I thought you were about to headed for the grave then. So life is short. And you know, if you stop to think about it, it's even shorter than we think. Now, childhood is a wonderful time, babyhood and childhood. But you don't really contribute much to the Lord's work or to society during childhood. They're happy years, or should be. Well, let's deduct 13 years of our life at least for babyhood and childhood. All right, you've got to take in consideration the fact that we need rest. And so the Lord makes it so that we sleep 7-8 hours a night. Sometimes that's interrupted. But if you figure the time up that we sleep in life, you've got to deduct years from that 70 or 80. And then what about the unexpected delays? We were on our way from Memphis to Bob Jones University for a Bible conference one year. And I filled up with gasoline and in Knoxville, and we got over into the Smokies, over into North Carolina, about the 13-mile marker, I think it was, and traffic stopped. I mean, it stopped from 5 o'clock in the afternoon until about 3 o'clock the next morning. We were stuck in a blizzard. I wasn't expecting that. I'm supposed to be over there. Unexpected delays. All of you have had some along the way. You go to the family reunion, and that great aunt that you hardly know gets you cornered. And she talks. And she talks. And she talks some more until your ears start drooping. Unexpected delays. It's something that's going to happen. And so that you have to deduct so much time for those kind of things in your life. And when you come to it, you are very limited in the years you have to give to God and serve Him and seek to glorify Him and seek to win others to Him. Oh, someday I'll get around to it. Our time in the flesh is short. 1 Chronicles 29:15 pictures life as just a shadow. In Job 7:6, Job says it's swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And the psalmist says that it's a hand breadth. That's about from the base of your thumb to the top of your middle finger. That's how long life is. Again, in James 4:14, it's referred to as a vapor that just appeareth for a little while. Where it's called a flower, and flowers are so beautiful, and they have some nice flowers, but they will wither and die in all too short a time. Then it's called a tale that is told. Some times it may be a long one, story, or a short one. But it will end. It's likened to a dream. But we're not dreaming. But it's going to be a short dream. And David said one time, there's just a step between me and death. So I'm trying to emphasize that time in the flesh is not only checkered, but our time in the flesh is short. Let me make another observation. Our time in the flesh is uncertain. Physically, we have these decaying bodies. Now, some of you don't realize it yet, but when you started to live, you started to die. Our heart is a drum beating our funeral procession to the grave. Our body deteriorates because we're sinners. And our limbs get weak. Our eyes grow dim. Our hearing diminishes. How I thank God for glasses and for hearing aids. If they just had something for my mind, huh? But our body is in the process of dying. That isn't pleasant, I know, but it's a fact. And I don't know if it'll be cancer. Or if it'll be a heart attack, are thousands of other ways that we go out of this world, but our time in the flesh is uncertain. We just don't know. Now, last August, I came down with the Chinese Communist virus. Shirley called the ambulance, the emergency squad. I don't remember a thing about it. She said, I stood up when they came in the room, said, do you have your driver's license with you? I don't remember that. But it sounds like me. And all those days in the hospital, now I remember the latter part of my wife came and put a moon suit on to get in to see me with our pastor. And I don't remember a thing about it. And I helped people all over the country say, Brother Bill, we prayed for you. I say thank you, because I couldn't pray for myself. So, the virus took a lot of people. And it left the bodies weaker a lot more. But the body, our time in the flesh is uncertain. We don't know what may come along. And this thing is still so up in the air that you don't know what to believe sometimes, whether to get the shot or not to get the shot. So don't be critical of one another. That's like Paul was dealing with. He said, one man esteems one day more than another, another man esteems every day alike. Well, we're going to differ on some things. You just do your best to find out the will of God for you by studying the Word and by considering the issues. So, our time in the flesh is uncertain. We could be called from a joyous wedding to attend a solemn funeral. A homeowner, a new homeowner, is about to move into his house, but then there's an interruption, and instead he goes to his eternal abode, whether it be heaven or hell. So our time in the flesh is so uncertain. What will another day bring? We've had elections, and we've been disappointed. We're concerned about our country. But we have a sovereign God who's able to take care of his own. And what may be ahead, I do not know. God has never asked me my opinion about anything. I just look for His will and His Word to show me His will. So our time in the flesh is uncertain. Now, I say all of that to say this. Our time in the flesh is important. The old saying, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And this, it's important because this is the only time we have to prepare for eternity. We cannot come back and do it over again. What we do now is to prepare. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Not one day. We've traveled the highways of the country for over the 66 years that we've been married, because the highways, the railways, the airways, all different trips, and so many. Thank God we've never had a major accident. But it only takes one. We don't know what one day will bring. So I'd better do what I can do while I can. And so had you. The time to be saved, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, the apostle says. Oh, I've got plenty of time. I'm young. You don't know that you have plenty of time. The time to be saved is while God is convicting your soul and reminding you of the need of your soul for the Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you hear a boy, a girl, teenager, man, or woman, the time to be saved is now, because God says so. But I don't have that feeling. Well, get it. And say, God, I don't know if I'm under conviction or not, but I want to be under conviction because I do not want to miss heaven. And we use excuses to put things off, and we should not. But Christians, I give you this promise or this proposition, because this is the only time we have to serve God. Oh, maybe someday I'm going to obey the Lord and be baptized. But I've got time, you know. I'm saved, and water doesn't have anything to do with salvation. That's true. But the first baby step of obedience after you get saved is to follow the Lord and become identified with Him by baptism. Oh, then you say, well, yeah, but I don't want to join a church. Well, that's the next step. Be baptized, become a member of the local church, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching when our Lord comes back. That may come soon. I hope it does. But there's some obedience that some of us haven't taken care of yet. Then God's given you abilities and talents. Well, someday I'll get around to serving the Lord, and you. But at least I come to church, don't I? I'm glad you do. But what about the investment of your life in the work of God? God gives you talents and abilities. Well, you say, I don't know what they are. Yes, you do. You know God doesn't make any flops. He gave you abilities and talents, and it's time you invested those for the Lord. I didn't know I was supposed to be an evangelist. I got saved at the age of 17, and the Lord began to deal with my heart about preaching. I didn't have any Christian background at all, but I did want to serve the Lord that died for me. And so, on a Palm Sunday, almost 70 years ago, I think, I came forward. After the service was over, I came to the pastor. And I said, like some of you, I was, I didn't want to do it publicly, you know. And I said to the pastor, I said, Dr. Walton, I said, I think maybe God's calling me to preach. And he looked at me and said, I know it. And so that night, I surrendered to preach. Well, I was in Memphis State College at the time. And they called me, said, "You've got a phone call." So I went out of class and went to the phone. It was my pastor. Said, "William," he was very dignified. He said, "William, next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And I think you ought to preach your first message on Easter Sunday night." Well, I knew the Lord called me to preach, but not that quick. He said, "I'll help you with an outline." I didn't know what that was, and some people think I still don't. So I got up and preached that next Sunday night from John 10:10, "The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I preached 50 minutes that first sermon. I didn't know. I thought I'd have about 20 minutes of work. I don't know what happened. But somebody came to get saved. And some Christians came forward. I thought, wow, it's wonderful to serve God. And I had my first revival meeting that summer. Kerosene lamp on either side of the pulpit, bugs flying around. I had an old Thompson Chain reference Bible. And while I was preaching, I'd close my Bible and kill bugs. Then somebody else invited me for a revival meeting. I didn't know I was supposed to be an evangelist. I didn't know enough about gifts and talents and that kind of thing, but God led a step at a time. Now, you may not have those abilities, but you have abilities. Brother Adam, he not only can teach, I imagine he can preach too, because he preached in Sunday school. And he sang. So some of you have multiple gifts. Carol DeHobb plays the piano. She's taught children all of her life through her broadcast and other things. And she's been a good pastor's wife and put up with the bulldog of fundamentalism, Dayton Hobbs. How I loved him. But God has something for you to do. Get in on it. Dedicate your life to the Lord and give every moment of every day to Him. Now, that doesn't mean you never take a break. Sometimes you have to come apart before you fall apart. But get with it. Our time in the flesh is so important. Someday, as Christians, we will all come before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will each one give an account of himself to God. There will be rewards, and there will be loss of rewards. Rewards that we could have had. Crowns that we could have gained to lay at His blessed feet. If we had just used the gifts that God's given us. I like that old song. If I can remember the words, "I wish I had given him more so I could lay more crowns at his feet, because he deserves all the honor and the glory for anything that's accomplished during our time in the flesh." There'll also be another judgment, called the Great White Throne Judgment. But that's not for the saved. And while we waste time and
have fewer crowns to lay at his feet. The unsaved waste all the opportunities and the love of God that God wanted them to be saved. And they will come before the great white throne, and their name will not be in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Revelation 20 makes it plain that they'll be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where all the unholy Trinity is. The devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will all be there, and all the lost, maybe in some distant planet somewhere that's just a lake of fire. I don't know just what it's like, but I know I don't want people to go there. Just like as a 17-year-old teenager, I didn't want to go there. And the preacher said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And I came to him. He said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." I'm glad he didn't cast me out. But he took me in. He paid my sin debt in full. He suffered my judgment so that I could have the gift of eternal life. Please, your time in the flesh may end soon. So let Jesus into your heart now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. My Father, I pray in the name of my precious Savior, the Lord Jesus, my advocate with Thee. I pray that You'd speak to that dear heart. Maybe it's some boy or girl. Maybe some teenager. Maybe even some adult. While I know many of the folks or have known them, I don't know everybody, and I certainly don't know about the inner recesses of the heart as You do. So please, Father, prepare their hearts, convict them, blessed Holy Spirit, and draw them into the Savior and save some precious soul as a result of this message. And then, Lord, help us as Christians to wake up, to realize what we have and what we could have if only we'd dedicate all our life and all our time left to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us have wasted too much time already. I'm glad You're a forgiving God. But I pray we'll not keep making the same mistake, but that we'll give it all to Thee. In Jesus' name. Now, with head still bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if there's someone that says, "Preacher," and there must be. Someone says, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm really saved or not, but I want to be before it's too late. Please pray for me." Would you slip your hand up quietly and then take it back down? Or anywhere across the building, young or old. All right, Christians, has God impressed your heart about your time in the flesh? I didn't say these things to worry you, but to challenge you concerning your life, this brief journey that we're taking. You say, "Preacher, I haven't dedicated my life to the Lord. I should have done that when I first got saved." Or, "Preacher, I did. I dedicated, but I've gotten so cold and indifferent. I need to come back to the Lord and renew my commitment to Him. And I want you to pray for me as God's servant." Would you slip the hands up and then take them back down across the building? Now, Father, You know my heart and You know their hearts. But I know Your heart for all of us is that we be obedient children, not in some legalistic way. Because you say, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, Lord, stir our hearts. May we fall in love with thee afresh and anew. Take us back to the first love that we had when we first got saved, when we do just about anything for you. And Lord, help us to be a church on fire with the love of God in our hearts. In Jesus' name. All right, Pastor.
Dr. Bill shared his heart with you this morning. He has a heart that cares for each and every one of you here. And he wants you to know his Savior. And if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, or if you're a Christian that's here and you're not living life to please the Lord, you're living life to please yourself, you need to get right with the Lord today. Don't wait and push it off into the future, because it won't happen. Now is the time to get it taken care of. I'm so thankful that he shared these thoughts with us today, and I hope that you'll take them with you and that you'll meditate on them and realize just how brief life is. It goes by way too fast, and you better be right with God. You better be ready to meet the Lord at any moment.